Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through the first half of verse 9. Listen to the word of God. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there, who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Well, it was not one of my proudest moments. I was in seventh grade, and my gym teacher has decided that it was time for all of us gangly preteens to learn some basic gymnastics skills. And that particular day, we were learning how to vault, which involved running down a set of mats and placing our hands on a piece of equipment and lightly springing over and landing on our feet on the other side, or at least that's how it was supposed to happen. And one by one, my classmates tried the skill. Most of them accomplished it. A few fell in the process. But as the minutes crept by, I realized soon it would be my turn. And as I've said before, and June is going to hate me for this because she was a gym teacher all her life, I hated gym. I hated every minute of gym. I'm just not gifted athletically in any way, shape, or form. I have the ability to trip over a piece of lint on the carpet. And the fact that I was 2 years younger than all of my classmates just made it even more agonizing because I didn't have the coordination that they had developed in those years. So every day, gym was a ritual humiliation for me. And so the time came, and I ran down those mats just like you were supposed to, but instead of springing lightly over the piece of equipment, I ran into it head first and fell on my back and blacked out. The next thing I remember, I opened my eyes, and there was the gym teacher standing over me and all of my classmates standing over me, the gym teacher looking mildly concerned, my classmates doing their best not to laugh, with varying degrees of success. And then it happened. The stupid question. My gym teacher actually had the audacity to ask me, "Do you want to try that again?" No. Have I not sufficiently demonstrated my inability to do this? We get asked stupid questions all the time, don't we? Some comedians have made their whole career on the stupid questions that we ask and get asked throughout our lives. And if we read our scripture reading for today, it looks like we have another one of those stupid questions. At least on the surface, it looks that way. As Jesus walks up to a man who has been disabled for 38 years and asks, "Do you want to be made well?" Excuse me? Do you want to be made well? The man's been sick for 38 years, Jesus. The man has been disabled nearly all of his life. It's probably his dream to be made well. He's probably wished that every single day of his life. What do you mean? Do you want to be made well. Of course. My seminary professors would probably give Jesus a D- in pastoral care for that day. Do you want to be made well? But the more we look into this story, the more we pay attention to what is going on, I think we'll find this is actually not a stupid question at all. This is a deep question. This is a profound question that Jesus asks. This is a question that every single one of us need to ask ourselves. Do we want to be made well? Do we want to be transformed by Jesus Christ, to be born again, to be made into a new person? Do we want to be healed physically, emotionally, spiritually? Do we want to be set free from all the things that bind us, all the things that keep us down, all the things that hold us back? Before we answer that question, we need to be careful. It's a loaded question. And there's a lot more going on than it seems on the surface. But first, we need to understand what's actually going on here at this pool in Jerusalem, called either the Pool of Bethesda or the Pool of Bethzatha, depending on which translation you look at. This was a large pool in the northwest corner of the old city of Jerusalem. It was deep enough to swim in. And sometime along the way, it had been enclosed by a set of columns on all four sides, plus a set that ran down the middle of the enclosure. And this pool was fed by an underground spring. And so with the motion of the water underneath, every so often, the pool water would stir and bubble because of science I don't quite understand. But one friend of mine has called the Pool of Bethesda the Holy Jacuzzi. That'll stick with you. Now, if we had been reading this passage out of our pew Bibles, it would be easier to see there's a verse that has been omitted from John chapter 5. It's included down in a footnote in our pew Bibles. And don't worry, there's nothing sinister going on here. It's just that the earliest and best manuscripts that we have don't include verse 4. It probably was added in shortly after the New Testament was put together as an explanation for people like us who aren't familiar with Jerusalem or familiar with this pool. But this is what verse 4 reads. In these porticos around this pool lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And here's the part that was added. Waiting for the stirring of the water, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. You see how that opens up the story. Sometime in history, it became an accepted idea that when that underground spring caused the pool to bubble and stir, that actually that was an angel stirring the water, and that the first person who slipped into the pool after that would be healed of whatever was ailing them. Now, whether this is actually true or not, the Bible is not all that concerned with answering that particular question for us. Instead, what's important for our story is that because many people believed this, there were scores of disabled folks who gathered around this pool every single day, probably brought there by their families, in the hopes that they would be the one who got into the pool at the right time in order to be healed. They probably also collected alms while they lay there and waited. And one day, John tells us, Jesus was in Jerusalem for one of the festivals, and he came to the Bethesda pool, and he met a man who had been disabled for 38 years. 38 years. Think about what that would be like, to be ill, to be disabled for 38 years. 38 years of not being able to walk, 38 years of not being able to work, 38 years of not being able to take care of yourself, 38 years of bearing the shame of your condition, because this would be a shameful thing in Jesus' day in that society. There probably was more than one person who told this man in his life that the reason he was sick, the reason he was disabled, was he or his parents had done something to deserve this, and God was against them. Imagine carrying that around with you for 38 years. He had a lot of baggage to carry around on those legs that didn't work. And so it's to this man who has lain by this pool for years upon years that Jesus asked that incredible question, "Do you want to be made well?" You know, a lot of doctors and nurses today would tell you that if we don't have the desire to get well, if we don't have some fight in us, then there's very little hope that we ever will get well. If a patient has given up, I'm sure many doctors and nurses can back this up, the science can back this up, that if we don't want to get well, no amount of medicine, no amount of therapy, no amount of surgery is really going to do all that much good for us. First, we have to want to be made well. And there's a lot in this man's life that could get in the way of his desire to be made well. 38 years is a long time. He probably had gotten used to thinking of himself as a disabled person, as an invalid. He probably had gotten used to that identity. He'd gotten comfortable with who he was. And it takes a great deal of courage for any of us to imagine that we could be somebody else, that our lives could be different than they are right now. It takes courage to rethink our identity. Moreover, as someone who is sick, as someone with a chronic condition, people come and do things for you. People come and take care of you. You get attention if you have a chronic disease or a chronic illness. You get pity if you are an invalid or disabled. And we probably all have met folks who have some kind of illness or some kind of disease, and they milk that for everything it's worth. They get all kinds of attention because of that illness. Perhaps this man was that way. We don't know. But it's a profound question that Jesus is asking. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to face that daunting task of rethinking who you are, of learning a new identity, of no longer being the guy who's sick and now becoming somebody else? Do you want to face the responsibility of now having to take care of yourself? Do you want to leave this life that you have known for almost 40 years and learn how to live a different way? That's a big question. That's a loaded question. It centers around the idea of change, and of course, none of us handle change very well, and none of us engage change until the pain of changing becomes less than the pain of staying the same. And so too many of us, when we are asked this question, we answer like the man in the story did. The sick man said to Jesus, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm making my way, somebody else steps down ahead of me. What do you mean, do I want to be made well? There's no possible way I could be made well, Jesus." And so we have the irony here in the story of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord of all creation, the creator of all the universe, standing and asking this man, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man saying, "But I can't get into the magic pool. How else am I going to be made well?" He's sure the magic pool is the only way that his life could change, the only way that he could get better, if only he could figure out how to get in there in time. A lot of us have these magic pools in our life. We'd like to be different than we are. We'd like to have a better life if only we could get ahead in our job. Then life would be different. Life would be better. If only we could get some more money in the bank and get ahead on our bills, then life would be different. Life would be better. If only we could fall in love and find a spouse to be with us for the rest of our lives, then life would be different. Life would be better. If only we could get ahead with the right set of people who would open up the right contacts for us, then life would be different. Life would be better. If only I could slip into the magic pool at just the right time, then I would be healed. You know what? It never seems to work, does it? It may make life better for a little while, but it's only going to treat the symptoms of what really is wrong with us. And yet there, standing in front of us, is Jesus himself, and he constantly asks us patiently over and over, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? We all have something in our lives that is not as it should be. For some of us, it's obvious. It's physical. We have an illness. We have a pain. We have a sickness of some kind. But some of us, our problem is emotional. We're carrying all kinds of baggage from our past, of things that have been done to us, of lies that have been told to us that we have believed about ourselves, of regrets for things we have done or things we have not done. For others of us, our illness is mental. Our minds do not work the way that they should for one reason or another. And of course, we all have spiritual illness in our lives. We all are sinful people who need to be healed, who need to be transformed. That evil that has shattered God's good creation has shattered us as well. And to every single one of us, no matter what illness or hurt or pain or baggage we may be carrying with us, Jesus stands there and asks, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to change? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to become the person you were meant to be? That is not a stupid question. That is a loaded question. We are confronted over and over by the promises of God that we find in Scripture. We heard a great many of them in our psalm reading for today, that we are to praise the Lord and we are not to forget all his benefits, because he forgives all our iniquity. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit. You ever been down in the pit? I've been there. It's not a nice place to be. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies us with good as long as we live, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Does that sound good? Do you want that in your life? Do you want to be made well? Most of us, we don't even dare to think this way, because hope can be a painful thing. We all have had our hopes shattered, our hopes dashed one too many times, and sometimes it's easier simply to be comfortable with being ill. Sometimes it's easier just to make terms with that and to say, this is it. This is as good as life is ever going to get. I might as well get used to it. And we don't dare to dream that our lives could be different than they are, that our lives could be better, that we really could be made well. But you see, we serve a living Jesus Christ. We serve a living Savior. He is alive. He is at work in our lives right now. We especially are remembering that in these 7 weeks between Easter and Pentecost, that this living Jesus whom we serve has the power to save, the power to heal, the power to transform us from who we are into who he wants us to be. Now, that may not happen the way we imagine it's going to happen, and that may not happen the way we expect. We may not be dunked into a magic pool and poof, healed, made well, transformed. Probably won't be that quick. It's probably going to be slow. It's probably going to be a long process that God takes us through. And we may go places we don't expect, and he may force us to confront some issues and some idols in our lives that we don't want to confront. And the Lord may say no to the kind of healing and transformation that we want because he wants to go to work in another area of our life. He has a better plan than the one that we have come up for ourselves. He may say no to the things we desire because in the process, he's going to teach us in this weakness we have to be strong and courageous in him. That's a different kind of being made well than we may want. But whatever happens and whatever it looks like in our particular instance, the scriptures teach us over and over and over again that God has a plan for each and every one of us to grow us, to heal us, to forgive us, and to empower us to live more fully and more abundantly in him. And he stands there patiently in front of each one of us and asks, "Do you want to be made well? Will you dare to hope that your life can be different, that your life can be better in Jesus? Are you willing to hand your life over to him and to let him go to work on you, to forgive your sins, to heal your diseases, to redeem your life from the pit, to crown you with steadfast love and mercy, to satisfy you with good things, to renew your youth like the eagles? Are you willing, even though it might be frightening, even though it might be painful, even though it might involve some hard changes, to rise up, pick up your mat, and follow Jesus wherever he wants you to go?" It's a big question. May we all have the grace to go wherever Jesus is taking us. May we all be made well in him. And as always, to him alone be the glory. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you want to make us well, that you want to heal us and forgive us and bless us and transform us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you love us just as we are, but that you love us too much to leave us that way. And we pray that you would give us the courage to hand our lives over to you and to allow you to transform us and empower us to be your people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.